Evening. If you're joining us here, thank you. It is 6:12. We are in the Belts Room in Juneau, Alaska. Madam Clerk, can you call the roll? Mr. Clerk.
Representative Osterman.
Here.
Representative Herron.
Here.
Representative Olson. Representative Josephson.
Here.
Representative Stoltz. Representative Kawasaki. Representative Hawker.
Present.
Senator Meyer.
Here.
Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senator Geisel.
Here.
Senator Olson.
Here.
Senator Dunleavy. Chair Fairclough.
Here. We do have a quorum to conduct business. The first item on the agenda are the approval of the minutes from our previous LB&A committee meeting. Does everyone have a copy of the minutes? You should have two sets, one from January 13th, 2014, and one from January 28th, 2014. Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move the minutes from the LB&A meeting on January 13th be approved as presented.
Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, the meeting minutes from January 13th, 2014 are approved. Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move the minutes from the LB&A meeting on January 28th be approved as presented.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Are there objections? Seeing and hearing none, the meeting minutes from the LB&A committee meeting on January 28th, 2014 are approved. Chris Curtis, if you could join us at the microphone. Next on the agenda, we'll be hearing from Chris Curtis on the Alaska State Legislature financial statements and audit report for fiscal year ending June 30, 2013.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Chris Curtis. I represent the Division of Legislative Audit. What you have before you is an independent audit of the Alaska State Legislature schedule of appropriations, expenditures, and encumbrances, and a schedule of revenues for the fiscal year ended June 30th of 2013. This audit is conducted every year. It's an independent audit. If you're on Legislative Council, you likely already viewed these results. The independent auditor provided an unmodified opinion, which essentially means that they believe the schedules are free from material misstatement. You also have a letter that's contained in the inside of your packet there. It's a letter to those charged with governance. It's a standard audit letter that's required to be issued along with the financial statements. And because this includes information on the LB&A committee's expenses and revenues, we wanted to present this for your information.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members?
No, ma'am.
Seeing no questions, thank you for that update. Committee members, if there is no other comments, we are going to move into executive session for the purpose of discussing confidential audit reports. Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move the committee under Uniform Rule 22 go into executive session for the purposes of discussing confidential audit reports under Alaska Statutes 24.20.301.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, I'd like to clear the room, the internet stream, and the teleconference for the executive session. I'd like auditing staff to stay with us as well as committee staff. We'll take a brief at ease while we clear the room. Good evening. It is 6:37, and this is the LB&A committee meeting. We're coming out of executive session. It's Tuesday, February 25th. We're in room 105 in the Belts committee room here in Juneau. Just to reestablish a quorum, this is Senator Anna Fairclough with me today, Senator Bishop, Senator Geisel, Senator Olson, Senator Meyer, Representative Mike Hawker, Representative Osterman, Representative Herron, Representative Josephson, and joined us at 6:19 inside of executive session, Representative Kurt Olson. Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move that the following preliminary audit be released to the agency for response, that is the statewide single audit for the year ended, the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2013.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, that motion is approved. The next item on the agenda is item number 5, audit requests. Representative Osterman has submitted a letter to the committee. Is everyone in possession of the letter?
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Osterman, would you or your staff like to explain the request?
I'll explain it. Thank you, Madam Chair. As the letter explains, the water vessel Tuscumina went into the dry dock and do its normal repairs, and it took over a year from a normal six-week, eight-week project, and so we started asking questions and didn't get very clear answers on why. And then in looking at or talking to other people who had been involved in other shipyards, that it appears to me that there's a breakdown in the procedures that the DOT uses to get to where they need to be. And so I've listed kind of the three of the areas that I'm more concerned with and would like the to have an audit done on how they do their contracting and et cetera, to do their ship repairs.
Ms. Curtis, can you join us at the microphone? Are there questions from committee members pertaining to Representative Osterman's request of LBNA? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Osterman, I thought our ferries were going to Ketchikan for maintenance.
No, the system that they have is that I think we have a statute that says that they have to have their work done in-state, so there's two places that do it, Ketchikan and Seward.
Okay.
So they have the options between the two of them.
And if I may, Madam Chair, do you know how or why they choose one over the other?
Say that again.
Do you know why or how they choose Ketchikan or one or the other over each other?
Not right off the top of my head.
Okay.
Other questions from committee members? Ms. Curtis, as I understand it, Representative Osterman is asking the committee to assign you a work task to determine whether the contract awarded to the Seward Shipyard complied with federal and state procurement laws and was in the state's best interest, as well as determining if technical specifications that supported the bid documents were adequate to allow for the procurement of the expertise necessary to fully address the refurbishment overhaul. In addition, evaluate management of the MV Tuscumina refurbishment overhaul by DOT public facilities from start to finish. Determine if the project was efficiently managed in order to achieve the project in the most cost-efficient and time-sensitive manner. Is that something that is possible to do? Have you been given enough parameters? And if it is possible, can you tell the committee when we might expect a work product in consideration of your workload?
Certainly. For the record, this is Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor. This is something we can do. As far as timing, we are in the position to assign staff fairly quickly to this project. However, we need to do some preliminary work to understand more about pending litigation, if there is any, because I have read in the paper about possible litigation. If there is, we typically hold off until litigation is complete before we begin an audit, or if there's an administrative process in place.
Are there additional questions from committee members? Representative Herron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chris, is the bullet points that are in the letter from Representative Osterman, that you're not limited to that? Once you're into an audit, there could be other things that you would find that needs to be presented at LBNA?
Typically, we try to stick with the objectives, and oftentimes, if there's something in there that says anything that comes to our attention, we can expand, and we could certainly add that if that's the committee's wish. As it's written, we would approach it specifically to address these three bullet points.
Thank you, Ms. Curtis. Representative Osterman.
To the last point, Ms. Curtis and I talked on this for some time, and exchange ideas on how to get the best possible answer out of what we're trying to accomplish. We didn't want to go too far in requesting too much based upon the potential. I mean, we really expect lawsuits out of this whole thing because somebody along the way is going to pay more. The shipyard's already announced that they're suing the state because they want more money. The state is going to have to figure out how to respond to that. The shipyard used too thin of metal based upon what the contract was supposed to have been, and the Coast Guard came in and made them tear it out. So there's just a number of different things, and we didn't know how far to go to try to get to the answers that I really want to get to, and is this the best way to be doing this? We got a lot of ships. We're putting every one of them in the shipyard every year. And I would like to see if we come across, or if they come across more details that show the inefficiency of what we're doing and those kind of things, that we be able to expand it a little bit just to make sure that we're doing the job right.
Questions from committee members? Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, and to the end there, Representative Osterman suggested, I would also suggest that we add as a fourth bullet here something to the effect that, you know, include any other matter that in the judgment of the auditor should be brought to the attention of this committee and the legislature.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Is there any objection to that added bullet? Seeing and hearing none, that's incorporated into the letter as far as the request. The only thing that I would ask the committee is if we know we're going into litigation, we certainly can advance the auditor in a preliminary look at this, but we're placing the auditor in between the law. I can just see this becoming controversial if we're trying to audit when we've got litigation going, that we could get drug into something that we may not be ready. I'm just wondering about timing on it. I support the idea going forward. I just don't know if we're going to start litigation, if how far down the path we want our auditor to enter into right now. Representative Osterman.
Yeah, we had that conversation as well, and the thought here is that if we don't start it now, if we wait till we see what litigation is going to be, we don't know how long that would take, if it even happens. And again, because we have so many ships and they go in every year, I think the sooner that we come to an answer of what's going on, and Ms. Curtis and I also discussed the fact that we anticipated that a lawsuit would stop this audit.
So with that said, Representative Osterman, again, Senator Fairclough speaking. Is there a reason that we're not examining the actual process? Senator Meyer asked, how is it determined which contractor is chosen? Do we know how DOT is currently managing those processes to put ships into dry dock? Is that not a higher level look at this? Did you consider that versus going after one and looking at it? I mean, I'm happy to go forward, but Ms. Curtis.
Thank you. Senator Fairclough, we did conduct an audit on the process overall, and it's not that old. It's about 3 years old. So we have a really good understanding about the procurement for process for overhauls and refurbishments, and we do plan to build on that knowledge.
Okay, so we have a baseline. I appreciate that, Ms. Curtis. Thank you. Okay, are there objections in going forward, at least in a preliminary way, understanding that if there is litigation that actually is filed, that it will delay completion of the project. Representative Josephson.
Thank you. Ms. Curtis, has there been a complaint filed yet in court? Or, I'm just trying to think of the legislature's position as an institution. I assume that Mr. Osterman's letter predates any filing of a complaint?
Representative Justison, through the chair, I did contact the department, and I asked about current status of legislation of litigation. What I was told is there is an administrative process in play, and that there has been no formal litigation filed at this point.
Okay. I mean, this isn't something, as an attorney, that I spend any time thinking about, so I'm just brainstorming, but the perception of piling on is something we want to avoid. And then in terms of your investigation, to the extent documents are public, which they often are in litigation, as they're filed, anybody can look at them. Alternatively, it could take years. And I mean, there could be a jury trial, I don't know. And there could be an appeal. So anyway, just some thoughts.
That was Representative Josephson for those listening at home. Ms. Curtis, do you have a comment on that?
Senator Fairclough, Representative Josephson, no, we will simply table it. Mm-hmm. And we do have one that's been in the hopper for quite some time now, having to do with MapMate, until they sell off some assets. We have no trouble tracking it. We will revisit it periodically to figure out the status. I think that the questions will remain valid throughout, regardless of the time period. So we're ready to monitor this and just keep our finger on the pulse until it's ready.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Curtis. Representative Herron.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that that we should give them the go-ahead on at least the preliminary. But when Representative Ostrom brought it up is that, you know, we don't know when it's going to be filed. I'm assuming there's a statute of limitations and somebody could wait till the last day. And obviously, if there is one filed, they're building their case, and that may take a while. So I would encourage us to consider letting the preliminary go as far as it can, and when the stop sign shows up, we stop.
So I place before the committee the approval with the amended item for the letter that Representative Osterman has submitted. Is there any objections to advancing this request? Seeing and hearing none, Ms. Curtis, please place on your docket the letter from Representative Osterman as amended by the committee. Oh, we need a formal motion. My staff is raising.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hawker, thank you.
Actually, I think I would have accepted that as a formal motion, but we must keep our staff happy. Happy staff are a good thing.
I appreciate being kept on task.
Madam Chair, I move the committee approve Representative Osterman's request as amended for an audit of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Management of the MV Tustamina refurbishment and overhaul.
Is there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, that motion is approved. Next on the agenda
happy
is a
staff.
Happy staff. Next item on the agenda is a request for a special audit by Representative Olson. Representative Olson, would you like to come to the table or present your request?
I'm going to go for my jersey.
Okay. That'd be great. Does everybody have the letter?
Yes, ma'am.
And actually, Madam Chair, I have a half-page supplemental that was at the request of Ms. Curtis for a bit of clarification. It has not been distributed yet, but I do have like 15 or 20 copies here that might speed up the process a bit. It's not out of...
We could just hold for a second, and we'll have my staff committee aide pass out the additional information.
Thank you very kindly.
Thank you.
Brief at ease.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. Briefly, to summarize what happened, and during the interim, we were contacted by several of the private care facilities in the Kenai-Soldotna area and also from around the state. And basically what had happened is the Department of Health and Social Services had put out new proposed regulation on the reimbursement rates for the same type of facilities, and on the private facilities, the rate went from $155 down to $124 a day. For the Pioneer homes, it went from $155 a day to $355 a day. That is the gist of the request. It's been the department caught a lot of flack over this, and they postponed implementation until 2015, but we still have it sitting on the table. But briefly, my request was to first find out. We haven't had them audited since, I believe, 1989.
Ms. Curtis?
89. Through the chair, I think the audit's dated 2000, so that would be about the right time of field work, 1989, 2000. So,
thank you, Ms. Curtis.
Thank you.
Representative Olson.
But we haven't looked at them, obviously, in 14 years. My thought is, first, I would like to see what kind of cost containment the Pioneer Home has. Secondly, it would seem appropriate that the committee would authorize a new audit to follow up on the prior recommendations from the 1999 or 2000 audit. Thirdly, look at the rate setting for the Pioneer Homes. I mean, a reduction on one side of $31, an increase on the other side of $200 appears to me to be a bit of a disparity at best and might be something else. And fourthly, yeah, just clarification on the disparity. It has had a severe impact on a number of the smaller privately ran homes, and we anticipate that if it does stay at this level, we'll see a number of them go out of business. And I would request that the committee seriously consider an audit.
Thank you. First, to our auditor, is the letter clear enough that that you understand the request that's being made of the committee? And if so, do you have the capacity to complete the audit that's being requested? And if so, what time frame could the committee expect completion of the audit?
Chair Fairclough, I believe it is written sufficiently for us to go forward with an audit. Time period, just a little clarification, we wouldn't want to go back and look at cost containment until 2000. Mm-hmm. Maybe last 2 to 3 years would be more practical on cost containment, just for clarification.
Representative Olson, if you could respond.
I would certainly defer to Ms. Curtis's judgment on this. She has far more expertise than I do.
If I could, I'll go to committee members. We're asking our editor to complete a project. Is there suggestions on a time frame so that it's not quite as broad as what's being proposed today? The auditor suggested 2 to 3 years. Does that seem reasonable to the committee? Does it need to go back further? Representative Hawker.
I would, again, I think Ms. Curtis, I would defer also, as Representative Olson suggested, to her judgment. And as they get into the audit, if they find a need to do further and more in-depth review, we certainly want to be sure they feel the latitude to pursue more in-depth, more backgrounding, more going back into prior years. But I believe it would be the kind of thing that looking at the past 1 or 2 years is a great place to start their audit sampling.
Representative Hawker, you proposed 1 to 2 years, and I heard Ms. Curtis say 2 to 3, so just looking for clarity on what the committee...
2 to 3, ma'am.
Okay, just want to make sure. I see no objections from committee members to... Ms. Curtis, do you have anything else that you'd like to expand on the request that's before us? 2 to 3 years, and if you need to look further, if you'd highlight that and feel the flexibility from the committee to provide that. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Administrative Regulatory Review Committee actually held a hearing on this subject matter sometime in the fall. And one of the things that came out is that the private facilities in most cases were taking care of a much higher acuity patient, a much sicker person than the Pioneer Homes. And so in the course of the audit, if you could take that into account as you assess the discrepancy between the reimbursement rates, I think that would give a more clear picture as well. The change in reimbursement was very concerning, which is why another committee looked at this, but it also came out that these are much sicker people in the private homes versus the Pioneer home.
Chair Fairclough, point of clarification, please. It would seem to me that the sicker equal more costly.
Absolutely.
But the rates are lower in the private, and then so that's the discrepancy, disparity that you're wanting us to follow up. Okay.
Senator Giesel, could you restate that so the clerk can capture that in the meeting minute notes, so that if we need to go back, the nexus that we're talking about between private sector reimbursement versus Pioneer home reimbursements and the acuity as well as the cost factors.
Sure. As Representative Olson has identified, the department had planned to raise the reimbursement rate for the Pioneer homes and reduce the reimbursement rate for the private sector homes. But in the course of a committee hearing, it became evident that the private homes are caring for folks of much higher acuity, sicker folks than the Pioneer home, and so that made the disparity even greater in terms of the reimbursement rates.
Ms. Curtis, do you think we need to add a bullet point in that regard, or do you think it's captured verbally so that you know what the committee is looking for?
Senator Fairclough, in these types of cases when we add a point, what I'll do is draft what I call an amendment, and I'll post the audit request along with the amendment approved on record.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Giesel. Thank you, Representative Olson. Is there any other discussion on this audit request?
Just one
comment. Representative Josephson.
Sort of in keeping with Representative Hawker's comment, I don't know, Ms. Curtis, if it's possible or if these institutions are required to keep sort of a decennial or decades-long summary of their costs and income. I mean, perhaps there's some magical year, 2005, where there was a 250% increase, and then it's only 10% after that. I just wanted to have the liberty to follow that, and I think that's understood.
Ms. Curtis.
Through the chair, yes, I believe that's the direction we have. We are familiar with the rate setting process through our federal compliance work, so I think we've got a real good basis of where to go to start reviewing these things and who to talk to, and if necessary, we will expand the time frame.
Thank you, Representative Josephson. Any further questions or inquiries?
Senator, I apologize. You did ask me when we could start it, and I didn't respond. I wanted to make sure I gave that on the record. We can assign this audit immediately. We do have the resources, so it's a bit unusual. We're ready to go on this.
Thank you very much. And then completion date?
Oh, that's difficult to say.
Good answer.
Representative Hawker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the committee approve Representative Olson's revised request dated February 25th, 2014 for an audit of the Alaska Pioneer Homes operating costs, cost containment, as outlined in that letter.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the motion is approved. The next item on the agenda is other committee business. Ms. Curtis, you have a couple of special contract requests. Would you like to present those requests to the committee?
Yes, for the record, this is Chris Curtis, representing Legislative Audit. We are requesting the committee consider and approve two contractual items tonight. Legislative procurement rules require that any contract entered into by our division that exceeds $35,000 is approved by the committee. First, we are requesting approval to solicit and award a contract for general audit services in support of our statewide single audit, not to exceed $100,000. This is not a new type of request. We've come before the committee for many years and asked for this approval. Essentially, we're requesting approval to hire contract auditors that work under our supervision to help get our single audit done. This contract will help our agency cope with vacancies in our audit shop and help us control workload. So second, we are requesting approval to solicit and award a contract for an IT audit of the Department of Health and Social Services Medicaid Information System. And this is for an amount not to exceed $150,000. The Medicaid system interfaces over $1 billion into the state's accounting system. As this is a new system, it's a replacement system from what was in there pre-existing. We need a comprehensive audit of its controls to make sure we gain assurance over the system's availability, confidentiality, and integrity. Our audit agency does not have the IT expertise on staff to conduct an IT audit of this magnitude in accordance with auditing standards. This contract will allow us to gain assurances necessary to support our audit opinion on the CAFR and the single audit. We received an increment in our FY14 budget for $100,000 to conduct IT audits, and we again asked for the same increment for our FY15 budget because we knew these IT audits were coming in. So we would like approval not to exceed $150,000 for the IT audit of the Medicaid system.
Thank you, Ms. Curtis. I'd like to take each contract and see first if there are questions from committee members. So first, the first item for $100,000. Are there questions from committee members? Representative Hawker.
And again, just purely for clarity point, just like to note, yes, this is something that is a recurring request. It's something we all understand. Is the amount, the $100,000, consistent with your recent experience on what these outside auditors are going to cost you? Gets into my world of truth and budgeting. Is it enough? Are you asking for enough? Or are you asking for too much? Or are you asking for just the right amount?
Representative Hawker, we're looking for 2 to 3 people. So my request really is by person, and I'm thinking about typically the availability of audit staff at these private firms is after tax season. So we're looking for after tax season, May, June, July, 2 to 3 people, and that's what generated my $100,000 amount.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hawker.
But specifically, you feel this is adequate, an adequate request at this time?
Yes, through the Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Curtis. Representative Josephson.
I'm just curious. I assume you bid this in some manner that makes sense so that you're not just saying, look, I got $100,000. I assume that.
Representative Josephson, through the Chair. Yes, certainly. We have, it's considered a small procurement.
Mm-hmm.
Under legislative procurement rules, we go out with at least 3 solicitations mm-hmm. to audit firms in state. Honestly, most of the time we don't get much response. It's maybe 1 or 2. We'll bid.
Right. Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is your office, what's the status of your office in terms of vacancies? Is there an attrition issue, or is this, as Representative Hawker said, just a custom and tradition?
Representative Josephson, through the Chair, we have a very big problem with vacancies right now. At our in-charge level, we have 6 budget positions, 1 filled. It's a serious problem, and we're doing a lot to fix it. So this is these are going to be lower level staff. These are not going to be higher level staff. We've got other things in play to try to deal with our upper level vacancies. In charges are pretty much mid to high level audit staff. So really, it's just trying to fill the holes with what we know is out there. For us, these are basically staff level auditors. We're going to pull on staff, but it's a help, but it doesn't fix our problem with vacancies.
Just a quick follow-up. I know it's late, but is the nature of these audits, just to be clear, is it such that if these other 5 positions in your office were filled, you'd still be seeking this just because of the nature of these, or would we be sending state employees to do them?
Thank you, Representative Josephson. Ms. Curtis.
I can't tell you what we would be doing if we had 5. I wish I knew. Our goal is to develop the staff we have and to promote them from within. We don't typically have problems filling our lower level staff. It's after they get their CPA, or as they're trying to get their CPA, we see the attrition. It's in the mid-level. I can't really answer that as far as I don't know where we would be if we had the 5 in-charge auditors.
I'm sorry, it's just one question begs another.
Representative Josephson.
So do the salaries in your office, are they not competitive with CPA salaries? Is that an issue?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, there are many things that contribute to this problem. My personal opinion is we are not competitive with oil companies, with various other folks that, and sometimes it's the executive branch that in charge auditors or that level can go to other executive branch agencies and make more, work less. Part of it's our workload.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Josephson. Any other questions on contracting out for the statewide single audit assistance? If not, Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move that we authorize the legislative auditor to solicit and award a contract for statewide single audit assistance not to exceed $100,000.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, that motion is approved. The second item that has been requested of us is an IT audit of DHSS new Medicaid system. Is there any questions? Representative Hawker.
Thank you, ma'am. Chris, clarification. Am I correct in my understanding that this work of the request is for outside services, contractual services, to review the new MMIS system, and that this is, first off, really necessary in order to, for you all to have the background and detailed understanding you need to complete the CAFR and the statewide single audit for the coming year, and secondly, that the anticipation is that this is a one-time request for contractual spending.
Representative Hawker, through the chair, excellent point. We envision this to obtain our baseline knowledge, as we did in the initial access in the mid-80s or ACPAY in the early 90s. We do these big audits. We develop our PERM files. We develop an understanding. We will be asking, we were working very closely with the auditor. Clarity standards, which just came out this last year, our new audit standards, that we will be the group auditor. They will be the contract auditor. There are some new requirements how we work together. We envision this to be a one-time request. We don't know what we're going to find. We have expectations that there will be large problems with the system based on testimony this year for the legislative committees. So initially, we believe we're going to develop an understanding and then be able to follow up those controls every year based on our knowledge.
Thank you, Madam. I appreciate that very much.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Representative Herron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support this because it's very prudent, is that the system has had a weak rollout. In private conversations is that Xerox is going to send 400 people up to reduce the backlog. So Chris has articulated correctly. There is a huge potential for problems.
Thank you, Representative Herron. Any other questions on this request? Representative Hawker.
Thank you, Madam. Madam Chair, I move that we authorize the legislative auditor to solicit and award a contract to audit the new Medicaid management information system not to exceed an amount of $150,000.
Thank you. Are there objections from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, that motion is approved. Before we adjourn, in preparation for our next performance review on the Department of Health and Social Services, I'm appointing the following members to the subcommittee. Myself, Senator Fairclough, and Senator Olson, Representative Josephson, Osterman, and Hawker. As a reminder, the Department of Corrections Performance Review Subcommittee will hold its first public hearing tomorrow night at 5 p.m. here in this room, 105, the Belts Room in Juneau. The members of that subcommittee are myself, Senator Fairclough, Senator Bishop, Representative Hawker, Herron, and Representative Kawasaki. I do want to announce, too, that since the time of our last meeting, we had a request from Senator French to hire a new consultant to assist with the gas tax conversation. That consultant has been hired, Mr. Rick Harper, and his contract is currently being finalized now. I will My staff or myself will be sending out a notification to each of the legislature to make them aware of all of those items. Is there any other business to come before the committee?
Question, Madam Chair.
Representative Hawker.
Do you have any idea how long you're anticipating tomorrow night's public hearing to be?
Ms. Pierre, could you join us at the microphone?
For the record, Laura Pierre, staff to Senator Fairclough, Representative Hawker through the chair. We don't have really any idea. I have not received any contact from any members of the public wishing to testify or expressing interest in testifying. So it's strictly just a public hearing, so we'll show up and see who signs up.
Great. I appreciate the clarification. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Anything else to come before the committee? I just would like to note for the record that Senator Meyer, as well as Senator Bishop, had an engagement and had to leave right about 7 o'clock. We still do have a quorum to conduct all of the business that we've done. And I would like to thank you for spending your It is Tuesday still, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Your Tuesday evening with us. It is 7:15, and the LBNA committee meeting is adjourned.